The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verse 23. We started looking at that last time out. You don't forget what we're teaching, the Lord's Mountain, or on the Lord's Mountain, or come up to the Lord's Mountain. Anyone, mountains should just be there. Amen. Alright. John chapter 4. The background of the story is Jesus and his disciples were journeying and they had to pause to go buy food. And so the disciples went to buy food and Jesus stayed. And while waiting, he met a Samaritan woman who didn't want to give him anything. Not because she was selfish, but because the Jews and the Samaritans don't have anything in common. Right? And that makes the Samaritan story very interesting, because that means that good Samaritan had no obligation in binding up the wound of that guy. Remember, that guy met Levites, met his own people who rejected him. So again, it's political. That makes sense. It's political. They don't deal with each other. I think there are some tribes like that. There was a particular sister like that one time. I think that was 2017. She reached out to me. We used to fellowship together. 2011, 2012, 2013. So she reached out to me that her parents were against the marriage with a brother I know too. Which I feel that's some union. They'll just go ahead. So I said, why are they against it? Is it that he disrespected them? They said, no. That, in fact, the father liked him. Our own father liked him. Till they found out that he was from particular place. Now, the funny thing is that they were both Igbos. So it was funny to me. Because I thought this is cross country. Yes, sir. You know, cross country. I thought this is the Yoruba going to Calabar, or Hausa coming to Yoruba, or Igbo going to Hausa. Yes, I thought that was the issue. So they started briefing me. This is a history class that they don't have dealings, that their ancestors of the ancestors have vowed that they will never do anything together. I mean, which kind of ancestors does that? What are you thinking? Don't you know that there will be one fine girl and one fine boy that will meet each other? Well, eventually, they have two kids now. Amen? So thank you, Pastor, for the encouragement. You're welcome. So, Jesus said, the Samaritans and the, that is Jesus. The woman said, the Samaritans and the Jews have no dealings with each other. Why do you want me to give you water? And Jesus said, if you know the person who is asking you, you would give him so that I can give you something more than water. Something that you will never thirst again. And underline that somewhere in your notes. You will never thirst again. That is the promise of the new creation. You will not thirst again. And that was Jesus told her. He said, I will give you something that will make you never thirst again. And the man said, oh, come on, give me. So that I don't have to come to draw water again. And conversations ensued. And Jesus said, okay, now go call your husband. Let me see your belly. And she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, what you said is correct. Thank God you are truthful. You didn't go and call boyfriend. So I don't have a husband. Jesus said, because you've had five. And the person that's in your house right now is not your husband. That's John 4:18. It's funny that some people have misquoted with 1 John 4:18. So you want to read 1 John 4:18 in a wedding. And then you go and read John 4:18. There's a problem already. You know, 1 John 4:18, let's see what it says. Even though that doesn't talk about marriage, physical marriage. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So that's what you want to read on the wedding. You want to read, there's no fear in love. Then you just go read John 4:18. Because you have had 5 husbands. And the one that is in your house right now is not even your husband. You know, you are going to be 9 of rice. Amen. So, she said, I don't have an husband. And Jesus said, that's true. Because, so. Then she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now we are closer. I perceive that you are a prophet from God. Why would she say you are a prophet? Because now something is revealed. Prophets reveal the mind of God. So when you see facts, information revealed, then the spirit of prophecy is working. So say, I perceive that you are a prophet from God. Our fathers, verse 20, worshipped in this mountain. But you say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know what you worship not. That is, you don't know what you're worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Which I've explained that before. It doesn't mean that salvation belongs to the Jews. He's saying salvation came ek. That's the word. It is out of the Jews. The Savior came out of the Jews. Salvation came out of the Jews. Not that salvation is of the Jews. It is an ek. It is an exodus. It is showing that the one who would die for sin, the one who would ensure salvation, will be from Jewish origin. Alright? Does that make sense? Alright, so, he says, you don't know what you're worshipping. So the issue was, she was saying, listen, she was saying, we are meant to worship in this mountain. Jesus said, that's not even the issue. The issue is that you don't even know what you're worshipping. Which we are going to explore. You said, we are meant to worship in Jerusalem or on this mountain. Jesus said, that's not even the issue. The hour is coming where you no longer in this mountain, or neither in this mountain, or at Jerusalem worship the Father. You don't know what we worship. For the Savior is from the Jews. Interesting. Let's read verse 23 and 24 together. Hey, everybody wants to go. But the hour comes, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is the Spirit. They that worship him. Again, don't forget, we said worship, proskuneo, proskuneo. Proskuneo, proskuneo. Lest I see another kind of spelling. Proskuneo, which means to prostrate oneself, to bow yourself. Is the illustration of a dog licking his master. And some of you have dogs. Bible says beware of dogs. Something like that. You have dogs, then you have to tell your neighbor, they don't run, don't run. He's playing with you. Is that what the dog told you? That he's playing with me. Something is charging at me like this, da 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 da. And he said, I should not run. What should I now do? I should say, Romeo, Romeo, Junior, Junior. I remember Paul. He went to someone's house and the dog chased him. He was running around. Tishé, Tishé, Tishé. The name of the owner of the dog is Tishé. So, Tishé, Tishé, stop your dog. Tishé, Tishé, Tishé. And the guy was laughing. He said, he's playing with you. What kind of stupid play? Alright, so, the illustration of a dog licking his master, and I understand that those of you that have dogs, you love them and all of that, and they play with you, which is fine, amen? Alright, so, that is worship. To bow yourself and make another your Lord. to bow oneself and make another oversee you. That is worship. And so, it is not songs, primarily. It's not slow songs. Or me, I'll be happy wherever he is. He's the Eledu Omari. It's fine. And that's what I was saying about cultural gospel. When you say Eledu Omari, that's all me, that those who understand. In fact, that song is actually a shrine song. That was just, lyrics were just changed for it to fit in the Christ. If you go to some nice places in Ibadan or Ogun State, or Ondo, and you sing that song, they will come and meet you and say, they can give you a greeting. God will say, you will not respond back. They can say, Apara. You say, I should pass it. Because it's a shrine song. But the entire melody is a shrine melody. Something like that. They sang it like that. But let's leave that. Alright, so again, worship is not slow songs. Worship is you bowing yourself to the Father. It's not until your knees bow, it's primarily your heart bowing. When your heart bows, sometimes your knees fall. So worship is a lifestyle. It's not slow songs. Some like, there's no Christian music. I've told you there's no Christian music. We just have songs that speak of Christ. You can't have Christian music. Music is melody. Music is tone. How can that be Christian? You can only have Christian songs, right? Does that make sense? Eh? But you can't have Christian music. Okay? So worship is a lifestyle. It's not what you really do when you sing, even though your songs or our songs are part of our worship. They're part of our worship. But that's not where we're going to. He says the Father seeks such. Again, it's not like the Father is looking for it. I've explained this before in the New Testament worship. You go and listen to that. When you say the Father seeks such, it says the Father is ensuring that this will be the worshippers. The Father will make himself worshippers that worship in spirit. I think I explained that some years ago, right? Okay, but that's not the bone of contention. In verse 20, the woman said to Jesus, please put your eyes on the ball. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And we started to look at the theology of mountains. Don't forget, we said, theology has many forms. And you could see people use places for theology. Now, why would we have such usage? Because it is human writing. It is what? Human writing. You know, if you are a Lagosian and you are social a bit, and someone say, Omoalem. If you don't know, you don't go and find out. Someone say, Omoalem. You understand theology, Abi? You know, suddenly, your mind thinks of something, right? Because on that road, there used to be people who stand for their daily income, right? There used to be people who are prostitutes on that road. I don't say go and preach there. That's my next. I want to start sale at Allen. Calm down. So there are people, I won't say there are people who preach there. There are people who line up there and their work starts around 10 p.m. So, if I now say, maybe we saw someone going and then someone has said, I'm Allen. You know, your mind already has an interpretation of that. That is using a place for an explanation. You know, someone else will have actually just been born in Allen and you say, I'm Allen. He was born in Allen. Primary school in Allen, Allen Avenue, secondary school in Allen Avenue, there's no university there. So, if I would call that kind of person, I would just say, you, all your life, Allen Avenue, Omo Allen. But, you can't afford to call that someone that now. Is it making sense? So, there will be an Allen as a place, there will be an Allen as an explanation. And you have that in the Bible. You have Egypt as a physical place where it's just a normal city like Nigeria, a normal country like Nigeria, a normal country like South Africa, a normal country like Uganda, Rwanda, Kenya, you know, just a normal place. But when you now see the theology of it, you will discover that Egypt was that place where Israel rebelled against God. That place of many gods. That place of rebellion. Even their Goshen was also outside God's will. So, you can have places like that as theology. Galilee, for example. I told you all that changed. I love the man of Galilee. Now I tell you to, I love the Christ who rose again. And I sang it to. I love the Christ who rose again. For he has done so many. He's not the man of Galilee alone. He's the Christ for all nations. And that's what it means. The issue is that you are the one that I have not read. The man of Galilee is the Christ for every nation. It's a theology. When you say Jordan, go and dip yourself in Jordan. John would dip men in Jordan. It's a theology. Jordan is to show that the rest is near. So, there are theologies and places as theologies. Zion, Jerusalem, Eden, Canaan. You know? Can we also have people as theology? Eh? You know, if you are in Nigeria and I say, maybe you are telling me something and you're telling me a story. And I say, Lai Muhammad. Sorry. What have I explained? Not theology now. What's the explanation in calling you Lai Muhammad? Faith. I don't know. Personally for me, to be someone who talks too much. Not really lie. Someone who talks out of. Just. He's not thinking things through. That's me. I mean, a lot of you just use it for lie. Hey, lie, Muhammad. You know. It happens everywhere. You know, in Nigeria, someone will tell you, you are telling someone a story and say, turn your dodo, turn your dodo. Someone will say, this dodo is burning. Turn it. You know, you start looking for a fry pan. The frying pan, I say, I'm not frying anything. He's telling you that what you are giving him is not consumable. That you are giving him a lie. That makes sense? So, he doesn't want to tell you are lying when he tell you turn your dodo. Plantain. Your plantain is burning. But it's a theology. He's using dodo. So, you can't blame the system of using things and people and places as explanation. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. Does that make sense now? Alright? So, we have that all over the Bible. Ishmael is a theology. Esau is a theology. Cain is a theology. Balaam. In fact, Jude will tell you, don't follow the way of Balaam. The gainsaying of Korah. Because those who have now become examples not to follow. Alright. Then we are looking at theology of mountains. And I'm not saying when you see any word in the Bible, you are just saying, Zacchaeus climbed the tree. The tree. Jesus was also on a, you are just being a false teacher. Observe that. Excuse me. That is not how we teach everything. Amen. Calm down. Jesus also was hung on a tree. The tree of life. That just climbed the tree of. Okay. Like Muhammad. Alright, so we are looking at the geology of mountains, the way it was used, and I've told you that it doesn't mean that every time you see mountain in the Bible, this is what it means. For example, the Bible tells you that you can, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Right? So, again, you have to look at words in their context. But we saw the way mountains were used in the Old Testament. We started by saying that protology will not give us a lot of support. Putology will be the study of the first things. Abi? Well said, it's a good tool in Bible study. It's a very good tool where you have to look at words as they were used in Genesis 1 to 3 or Genesis as a whole. So you look at the putology of things, the putology of life, the putology of death, the putology of the fruit, the putology of the seed, where it has to bring forth fruit after its own kind. We saw that in January when we were looking at spiritual growth, what, where, how, when. Alright, so, we said putology doesn't give us a lot of evidence for this, but one thing is, we saw a whole lot of evidences. From Genesis 22, where Abraham took Isaac to the mountain to sacrifice. You know, and if you are the one, what would you have told your son? Sometimes I put myself in that shoe and I say, what will you tell your boy? He's asking you. He said, I can see the firewood. I can see everything. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And Abraham did not lie. He said, God will provide. Amen. That is the scriptures. When the Bible now says Abraham preached the gospel, so you are saying it now, God will provide himself as that lamb, as that offering. But we saw that event where Abraham saw God's provision, Jehovah Jireh, we saw that it was on Mount Moriah, which later was Solomon's temple. We also saw that God revealed himself to Moses on the mountain. Moses, who all his life he has been in Egypt, serving their gods. Something like that. Because there's no way you'll be in the palace and you not bow to one God. So, but Moses realized the God of Israel. Yet, one day, God will now call Moses out on Mount Horeb and say, You know what? This is where your assignment is. You are going to deliver the children of Israel from that strange land. And God said, this will be a token between you and I. You will now come back and serve me on this mountain. So that woman was right when she said, our fathers served God on the mountain. Is it making sense? So, you will serve me on this mountain. And they did. That's Moses. We saw Elijah, right, on Mount Carmel, where he was calling down fire. Something like that. But much more, where God spoke to him. Elijah was on the run from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 18. He was on the run from Jezebel. Is Jezebel to a theology? Something like that. Wickedness. Fierceness. Alright, so he was on the run from Jezebel. But I wonder why Elijah is such a gentleman. Every other person that he sent to him was killing. But this woman, he just could not touch. Something like that. He just, anytime it's Jezebel, he's running. He doesn't want to cause domestic violence. Amen? Have you not talked about it before? Guys will come. Say, Elijah, the king wants you. He just say, barbecue. And they'll go. The second one, that's it. Me. You know who you are talking to? Elijah. Like fire. But Jezebel is looking for him and he's running. He's running from coast to coast. In fact, he's now staying in caves. Such respect for women. Amen. 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 So, Jezebel was just, and God told Elijah, he said, you know what? Stand on this mountain and I will show myself to you. Stand on this mountain. And I'll show myself to you. And there was suddenly an earthquake. Someone said, yo, my God has shaken the ground. Elijah said, but God was not in it. You know, if there's a part, if there's a church now that you go to, and every time the pastor speaks in tongues, the ground shakes, you say, God is here. Elijah said, God is not in the earthquake. How do you want to explain this for now? He said, and there was a fire. You said, my God has answered the fire. Let him be God. Elijah said, God was not in the fire. As much as we have loved it. Then there was wind. Boom. He said, hey. He said, God is not in the wind. Where was he? In a still small voice. He was in a man. Voice belongs to man. In a voice. That's where God was. And God said, you are going to anoint Jehu to be king. Yeah, you're going to anoint Elisha to be prophet in your stead. So that means on that mountain, Elijah now received instructions. Elijah now knew what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So on that mountain, Elijah knew what to do. And so we saw that mountains over time in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, were peculiar to how God spoke to his prophet. Very peculiar to how God spoke to his prophet. Even we saw that with James, Peter, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. When God was going to instruct Moses for Israel, in Exodus 19, turn there. Exodus 19. In the third month, verse 1, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and God called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to that of Jacob, and tell to the children of Israel. So, again, instructions abound on the mountain. Instructions abound on the mountain. The writer of Hebrews also gave us the tale of two mountains. Sinai and Zion. The tale of two mountains. So we have not come to one, we have come to the other. And he calls Zion that heavenly Jerusalem, that city of God, in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, that scene. So we know now that mountains play significant roles in theology. They come out as a place where God's word and God's intent is known. They come out as a place where God's word and God's intent is known, where God is worshipped. It will represent an height above the sea level. An height above the earth. A place in Israel's voice where God is. A place where God is. Don't forget, the Jews will use heaven or the sky to represent God. Right? Right? And that's why Moses will tell them, in that beginning, that firstborn, Proton, Reshit, in that man is the heaven and the earth, is God and man. In that beginning is God and man. You know, so he will use heaven. You saw that with Matthew. So rather than say kingdom of God, he will say kingdom of heaven. So they will now use mountains to symbolize that. To symbolize God and where he is. But Jesus is telling this woman, he's saying, there's no need for mountains. I thought if I want to hear God, I have to go to the mountain. If I want to know God's intent, God's instructions, right? For example, for people who want to know what God wants them to do in 2022. They want to know how God wants them to work in 2022. Then you have said, oh, then go to the mountain. Just go to the mountain. But Jesus is saying, there is no need for mountains. There's no need for mountains. Interesting. Very interesting. Our Father says, in this mountain is where men ought to worship. You say there's no need for mountains. Then Jesus says, rather than mountains, where do you go to? Huh? You worship where? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. John 4, that's where we are. The hour comes when you would not need to worship God on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But you worship Him in Spirit. For God is Spirit. And those who will worship where? In spirit and in truth. That is, the reality of their worship will now be in the Spirit. So,
Our worship is in the spirit.
Worship?
See, our worship, come on, that's everyone. See, our worship of the Father is in the spirit. It's not in a place. It's not in the bottle. It's in the spirit. It's not in oil. It's not in candles. It's not in salt. It's in the spirit. Those who worship will worship in the spirit. That will be the reality. That will be the truth of worship. Now we now saw that Micah's prophecy testifies to this, which was our main text. Micah chapter 4. Don't forget, we said, Jesus subbed that woman's form. He said, it's not about where you worship. It's about who you worship. It's not about the mountain. It's about who you worship on the mountain. In Micah chapter 4, verse 1, can we read verse 1 and 2 together, everybody as the church? Want to go? Then the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow in. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And he will teach us of his ways, and will walk in his path. For the Lord shall go out forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. So, Micah is saying, in the last days, the last days and in that hour, is it the same thing? When Jesus said, the hour comes, and Micah says, in the last days, are they talking about the same thing? Because the last days is when the Spirit is given. The hour that Jesus was speaking about was his resurrection, which is when the Holy Ghost was given. John 7:39, right? The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified, which is his resurrection. Alright? So again, when you talk about the hour of the Christ, that's the resurrection. When you talk about the last days, that's still from the resurrection. So Micah is saying, the hour comes. That the mountain of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be established above all the hills, and the people shall flow in his mountain, and many nations will come to that mountain, and they will say, let us go up to the Lord. Don't forget what Jesus did. He substituted mountains for what? Or with what? With the Spirit. Have you? He's saying, Jesus said, you don't have mountains. In the resurrection, you will yield to the Spirit. Micah says, the people will say, let us go to where the Spirit of the Lord is. Let us go to the mountains. So, we ought to flow in the mountain. Micah says, in that last day, it's not the Spirit of God will not just be exalted above every other. People will flow in the Spirit. The people will flow in it. Amen? Amen? You know, Brother Hagin used that word so much. Flow in the Spirit. He said it's like a river. In that theology too, where God's Spirit was used as water. Right? Sometimes 36, 25, 27, you know, John also used it in his writing. Jesus used it. He said, the same man born of water, that is of the Spirit. Breaking used rivers and waters for the Spirit. It's fine. It's not a sin. And it's not idolatry. Amen? 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 Aha. The people shall flow in it. So what God expected in the resurrection is a people who flow in the Spirit. A people who flow in the Spirit. Don't forget that mountain is where God is known, right? Where God is seen, where God is heard, where instructions are given, where lives are changed forever. Right? You can't tell me that Moses' life was not changed on Horeb. That was a call that turned him all around. He was not a prophet. He was just going about. He was a fugitive on the run. He was running from Pharaoh. In fact, if he sees Pharaoh's army, after that Pharaoh has died, the Pharaoh he offended has died. If you see anybody with a helmet, Sally, and yet, God called him on that mount, and his life changed forever. we now saw the Moses of God. We now saw the Moses who will lead them out of captivity. We now saw a Moses that will write Genesis. So on that mountain is where lives are changed. Is where instructions are given. Is where convictions are best. Just like Elijah. And what would be the result of flowing in the mountain? Eh? Come on. What will be the result? Amen. What will be the result of flowing in the mountain? The nations will come. The nations will come. And the people will flow in it. And the nations will come to the mountain. Let us go to the mountain of the Lord. So there will be a mighty harvest. There will be an harvest of the nations. That is the result of flowing on the mountain. Or in the mountain. Men will yield. So lives can change on the mountain. Lives can change on the mountain. I know this week is such a special week. It's a week where you are reminding yourself of why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. Why we pray. Why we preach. Why we sing. Why we separate ourselves unto the Lord. Such an important one. The people who flow in the mountain. That word flow explains unrestricted movement. Unrestricted movement. A movement without limitations. They will flow in the mountain. So what does God expect from us? In the spirit, we ought to have unrestricted movements. Movements of tongues, movements of prophecy, movements of miracles, movements of power. Amen. Such ceaseless flow of grace on the mountain. On the mountain. Shall I flow in the mountain? Shall I flow in the mountain? Shall I flow in the mountain? I can minister by the Spirit. God's Spirit is at work in my life. I'm a professional minister of the things of the Spirit. That's what we have in resurrection. We have a people who have a flow in the mountain. If you don't yet, then you need to sharpen up. Because in the last days, there are no exemptions. So all the people shall flow in it. There are no exemptions. And the people shall flow in. Everyone. The young, the old, the educated, the non-educated. Everyone will flow in it. On the mountain. So there are experiences on the mountain of the Lord. There are experiences on the mountain of the Lord. There are things, you know, let me just say this. I said something was it Friday as you prayed? Or Thursday? I said, you look at the ages, and you look at the Bible, and you wonder what made some people serve the Lord. Except you've never wondered. I always wondered, what did Paul see? Because it is not normal. I mean, I can have a vision, have a trance, and still nothing changed. It's very possible. For a man to have a very spiritual experience, and he does it. Oh, it's fake. I was in delirium. Or, what else do you want to call it now? Eh? Is it delirium now? Hallucination, thank you. I was just hallucinating. He doesn't clinical psychology. You have done it since, okay. I was hallucinating. It's all real. But this man had an encounter. And he was running from a country to country, preaching Jesus. There is something here that we don't know. There is something that would make Moses follow Jesus or follow what Yahweh told him for 40 years. I mean, this is someone that has spent 18 years just doing his normal stuff. There's suddenly an encounter on Mount Horeb, and he turned around and he had a cause that he was ready to die for. There is something on the mountain. Something on that mountain that someone else cannot have the experience for you. Something on that mountain that reading about it is not enough. Are you listening to me? There's something. There is something about meeting God yourself. You know, you just wonder, how did that cure? You know, he just said, it's not easy for someone who is rich, who has always wanted to be rich, that's why he cheated people in the first place, to now say, he doesn't want again. So now say, Money does not matter. What did he see? Because on that mountain, there are experiences that cannot be had for you. Someone cannot. They can only make food for you. They cannot eat for you. No matter how much someone loves you, the highest he can do is make food for you. Say, you are okay. This is so, so, so. This is cutter than any. This one is rice. This one is pan. This one is sandwich. This one is. They can give you several options. Well, you know what they cannot do? They cannot eat it for you. Some cannot use drugs for you. If your body is the one ailing, then you are the one that will use the drugs. Just like the parable of the virgins. You can't use someone else's oil. You can't. It's your lamp. It's your oil. You can't. You have to have yours. Listen to me this morning. No matter how much you read about Moses, no matter how much you read about Elijah, I mean, Elijah had a still small voice. I mean, Elijah had God's instruction on that mountain. No matter how much you read about John the Baptist, no matter how much you read about all these men, it is not our experience. You need to get your own. You need to get your own. You know, I've read about men of God, man. There was a time I was reading about John G. Lake. I mean, I told you John G. Lake. There was a pestilence. There was a very serious rage of disease that was spread in the virus. I was killing people then, I think in the 1920s or 30s. I told the story before. And John G. Lake said, he cannot kill him. And they were asking him, what, you have not been sick? He said, he cannot kill him. I mean, this is the 90s. And they brought the culture of that virus. And they put it on his hand. This is not fable. They put it on his hand. And they started looking at it with medical devices to see what will happen to the virus. And he died. I mean, this is a man of God. Hallelujah. John G. Lake, I think, has the highest, apart from Oral Roberts, probably has the greatest healing ministry that we have seen. Apart from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is something different. When Oral Roberts enters the room, you will know that the healing power of God is in the room. Amen. If he's sitting down and hiding, if you are the preacher, you will know that God is here. That's Oral Roberts. What is that one? As much as you read about them, that's what I asked myself years ago. I said, now, reading is not enough. You have to get yours. We are in an age where we have passive Christianity. We are okay to hear about it. We are okay to just read the Acts of the Apostles without having our own Acts. When last did you lay your hands on the sick? When last did you heal someone who was sick of sickness? When last did you hear God and you knew what to do part time? I mean, 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, this is what I should be doing. I should be at so-so-so place by Friday. I mean, and you knew that by the Spirit. I told you the day God asked me to go to Bariga. I think I told you. I told you the house address. The person I was going to meet and everything. Naturally, I wouldn't go. I don't go out. I just started joining a street I have never heard of. But when I was asking me something, he doesn't know, but I should ask two persons. So I thought, I have come to the wrong local government. And when I asked one of the bike men, that one is inside now, he just wants more clothes. And I got to the gate, and I met the person. I said, Jesus, this is interesting. And I just told the person, so, and I left. He must have been wondering if Jesus came to him physically. I mean, I didn't greet, I didn't do anything, I just went to him and I said, God asked me to tell you so. And I took back. And I left. We ought to have such experiences, not once in a year. The supernatural is for me. The supernatural is for me every day. It's for me every time. So, in reading about it is not enough. You have to have your own on the mountain. Moses had, Abraham had, Jacob had his own. He called the place Bethel. He said, God is here. Elijah had his own. Peter had his own. Paul. On that road to Damascus, that is a great mountain. That is the mountain of the Lord. It's not necessarily an height, no more. It is an experience of the God kind. It is an encounter with the God kind. Paul was on the road to Damascus. Usual duty. Kill everyone you meet. But he met something that changes life forever. I want to meet it. Never made them serve God for 30, 40, 60 years. Whatever made Hagin preach for 70 years. Jesus, I want it.
You know, sometimes you just look at yourself and say, how many years have you been actively preaching the gospel?
4? 3? Some 5? Okay. 10? Is that 10? 12?
No, I knew that 12.
And someone actually preached Jesus and stood for the name of the Lord for 70 years. Whatever brings such longevity, I want it. Whatever makes people proclaim the name of Jesus from generation to generation, Jesus, I want it all. What people see when they see you, I want to see it. What people hear when they hear you, I want to hear it.
You know, there's something they just see that we need to see.
What could Moses have seen? What did Paul see that cannot be put into writing? That is one of the reasons why we have our retreats. Why we come together and concentrate ourselves to have experiences that can be beyond writing.
You know, when Moses came up the mountain in Exodus 19, the Bible says that his face was shining such that the entire Israel congregation, they could not look at him. That is beyond what you can write. The highest you can write is they could not look at him. His face was fine. But you know, he is the one that knows what happened to him. The people that saw him are the ones that can say, ah, this is not natural. I want it. I want it. We have been praying and we are still going to pray. And we have prayed. We don't want passive Christianity. We want that old time Paul. Again, we want a church of Paul. We want a church full of that. We want a church full of Timothys. We want a church full of Peter. We want a spirit-filled congregation. A spirit-filled cell meeting. Where everyone has an encounter on the mountain. So it's not just 4 days of marking attendance. It's not, oh, we're just coming together and, you know. No! We want to see Jesus. We want to hear him. What makes people serve you? Jesus, I want it. What makes people lay down their lives? Look at the apostles. They were all killed. I mean, what makes people lay down their lives when they know that, see, this is the end. I'm going to be killed. I want it. I want to see you. This weekend. Today is my weekend. So, there are things that make people serve Jesus throughout the ages. They must have seen something. They must have known something. They must have met with something. They must have felt something, and I want it all. Pray for me as I close. So, we go on the mountain, and we flow in the sea. When Moses came down from that mountain, the Bible says the glory of God was all over his face. So, what that tells us is that there are possibilities of after a meeting where men literally see you and they see Jesus. We can have meetings. When you are talking after that meeting, when men hear you, they hear the voice of Jesus. When men see you, all they see is God's glory. So our meetings are not passive meetings. They are not we shall come, we shall finish it. No. It's a Damascus. It's an Horeb. It's a Moriah. It's a Mount Carmel. This is the mountain of the Lord. Exalted above every other mountain. Higher than every other hill. It's the mountain of the Lord. It's the super, super, supernatural. I know this weekend I will see Jesus. My ministry will not be the same. I will feel that tangible power. When I am done with retreat, everyone who hears me will hear Jesus. Everyone who sees me will see Jesus. My hands will become the hands of Jesus. My voice will become his voice. My eyes will shine with his glory. It's not just a meeting for me. What will be the result of that in 2022?
the nations will come. And also, let us go to that mountain. The Lord will teach us His ways. I believe and I receive all that God has to offer this weekend. As we pray, as we wait, we will see the gift of the Holy Ghost. As we pray, as we wait, we will see what God can do. Our expectations are what God offers. We want what He gives. We want what He gives. I want what You give, Jesus. I'm not satisfied. I'm talking to myself. I'm not satisfied. Don't forget the foolish virgins. They were wise to the midnight. So whatever makes people serve Jesus for 70 years, I want everything. If it's a problem, I want all of it. I want to serve Him forever. We can get strength in the place of prayer. Jesus, while He prayed in that garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says when He was done, the angels of the Lord came and they strengthened them. We can still have such ministrations. The ministry of angels, where we have supernatural strength for the work ahead. There are times where pray and then you know that something has happened to you. You are just emboldened, you are just stronger. That's what I want. That's what I want to have, Jesus. That's what I want to have, Jesus. At this, the people shall flow in it. They shall flow in it. They shall flow in it. Unrestricted. Untamed. Unrestricted. They shall flow in it. That means He will give to everyone severally as He wills. The one who desires disciples, who desires multiplication in His work, He will receive it. The one who desires strength as He teaches, He will receive it. The one who desires courage, He will receive it. The one who desires comfort of the Holy Ghost, He will receive it. Don't shy from the mountain experience. Don't run from it. There's a making of the men of God on the mountain. It's not something you do. It's not something you do straightway. It's not constant. It is made on the mountain of the Lord. When you see people stand Jesus, when you see people talk His name and they are strong and they are bold, they have an encounter. They are on the mountain. They are on the mountain. Where God is seen, where God is heard, where His name is glorified in our hearts. And I pray for you that as we wait on the Lord, 2022 will be a different kind of year. The way you have never taught the gospel, the passion that you have never had for the gospel, you will receive brand new passion. You will receive brand new fire. Let the stomper I eat as a late garjon this when men are quitting, you will double your own effort. In the name of Jesus. For every barrier the devil is going to throw at you in the coming year, you will be seven times ahead. You will be seven steps ahead. The glory of God will shine in your life. You will be strong. You will be bold. You will be courageous. You will be passionate. You will be zealous for the work of the Lord. When men hear you, everyone who hears you will say, I heard Jesus today. Everyone who meets you will say, I met with Jesus today. Your encounters with you will be encounters with the God kind. You will pray with the Spirit more. You will pray more. You will raise more disciples. Passion. Zeal. Those are the things that will characterize you. Men will yield to Jesus because they saw an example in you. They will say, I want to be like that, brother. I want to be like that. I want to stand up like you. The nation of the God. They will say, let us go to that mountain. You will not be passive. You will not throw in the towel. You will not give up. It will not cross your mind. You will keep moving from years to years. You will keep moving from levels to levels. Telling the Lord and raising them for you. You will keep having the mountain experience. Every time, every week, you will raise men to have the same. You will raise disciples that will raise other disciples. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself this morning. Pray for yourself this morning. We are still going to have a week meeting. We are preparing our hearts for ministers' retreat. Paul was not the only one on the road to Damascus. He was not the only one. We never heard of the others. Mountain experience, Jesus. Mountain experience, Jesus. My life will never be the same again. The glory of God will fill my life. I will say, there was anything like that. Let's just go back to Batalha. Where everything took a new turn. Where I receive brand new fire. Where I receive a brand new passion. It is my meeting. Jesus, give to me what you want. This is my meeting. This is my meeting. I will never be the same again. You know what I do? Jesus, when I come, I will see you. When I come, I will see you. What makes people see you? People love you. What makes people passionate about you? I want it. What makes men pray and they want to pray more? I want it. What has made every nation tempt you for ages. Jesus, I want all of it. The spirit of the mountain, rivers of Jesus, Lord, has brought passion to the lives of many. I want it. To run after you with passion. That the zeal of your eyes will consume my life. Above every other thing else. I want it. Are you praying at all? To be consumed in your glory. The coming year will be for me. The year of ministry. The year of passion. The year of zeal. The year of unmatched strength. That is what I'm for. He said, on the Lord. They will mount the wings like eagles. They will not run on the wings. They will not run on the gates. They will not face. They will not grow tired. Jesus, that which makes men not get tired, give it to me. That which makes men not alone and hide, give it to me. Ask me, for your walk, for your glory, for your walk, for your charge. And the people shall flow in it. And the people shall flow in it. And the people shall flow in it. May we go again. And you look at you must have a family out of that. A family out of those. No, you got this. And you are not only. I've got a big thing done. And you have a summer. Oh, yo. A Zemma Tadira Balabala. I'm that hungry boy. I'm that hungry boy. I'm folly. Do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Why touching lives? Why you are changing lives? Why you are emoting people? Don't pass me by. Every session is my session. Ministers in 2021. Weakness without a strength. Weakness without a strength. Let that you without a passion. Long for this. Zina Kedeva, Tira Baya. The plane will have to be without the impact. I will go back to those places. And create it for you. The plane will have worked without the impact. I will go back and rest, man. It's a new beginning for me. It's a new top. It's a new. Some encounters are once in a lifetime, and they will keep getting other encounters. Pray for yourself now. You are not praying all day. Pray for yourself now. My cell will become new because of me. When men are counting disciples, I will count up the persons. When men are counting lives that have changed, I will count something else. When men are counting works that have been started, I will count something else. Whenever that new cells are started, I will be counting something else. Whenever counting truth that will be taken from Jesus, I will run a line. I am hungry, Jesus. I'm your little boy. Walk on me. I'm that innocent boy. Walk on me, Jesus. Make my heart yours. Make my heart yours.